Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said life is tragic for the person who has plenty to live on, but nothing to live for. We're happy to have the privilege of Bible study today. We're glad that you're listening to our Bible Meditations program. We'd like to return now in our study to think a little bit more about the idea of preaching Christ and Him crucified. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth and pointed out to them that he had made up his mind, he determined, not to know anything among them except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Of course, the expression, Christ and Him crucified, is not limiting the teaching to the fact that Jesus lived and that He was crucified. There are a number of other things that are involved in the doctrine of Christ, which obviously are involved in preaching Christ and Him crucified. Some of the things that people deny are a part of that teaching. If we look very carefully, we can see are indeed a part of the teaching concerning Jesus Christ. When we looked at what Paul said he was going to do, we also looked at a man in the 8th chapter of the book of Acts who did exactly what Paul said he was going to do. That is, he went into Samaria and he preached Christ unto the people. So preaching Christ to the people was the determination of this man who was a servant of God. But look at what is said in regard to the teaching that he did with a particular individual. There was a person named Simon who was taught the word of God. Now look at what happened as he's taught the word of God to Simon as well as to others. Verse 9 says, there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. Well, in verse 10 it says, they all gave heed unto him, and this man is a great power of God. But look at verse 12. When they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Isn't it strange that the things mentioned were the things that involved preaching Christ? Preaching Christ involves teaching concerning the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom? Jesus said in Matthew 16 and verse 18, upon this rock I'll build my church. But then in verse 19, he called the church the kingdom. Paul wrote to the church at Colossae and said they had been delivered from the power of darkness and were translated into the kingdom. Colossians 1 and verse 13. We would be right then if we concluded that the church and the kingdom are the same thing. That's just another expression that is used that describes the same body of people, but gives us a different outlook in regard to that body of people. When I use the term church, that comes from the Greek word ekklesia, which means called out. So, people who've been called out of a life of sin and to a different kind of life are the people involved in that particular expression. But also, when I use the term kingdom, immediately what comes to mind is this, a king and a kingdom, a king and subjects. So that's the idea of a kingdom. It's still the same body of people as the church, but it conveys a little different idea when we think of a kingdom. So the Bible uses those terms interchangeably. But he preached Christ And when he preached Christ, he preached concerning the kingdom of God. Would it be fair to say that in preaching Christ, you talk to people about the church? I think that we can reach that conclusion without any problem. We reach the conclusion that preaching Christ involves preaching the kingdom. So, if a person is in the kingdom, he's in the church. And so there's teaching in Jesus Christ concerning the church or the kingdom. I once in a while encounter somebody who says, I just don't like to hear about the church. I don't want anything to do with the church. I believe in Christ. I accept Christ, but I don't want to hear anything about his church or his kingdom. I just don't want any part of that. Do you realize, my friends, that it's impossible to separate Christ from his kingdom? You cannot separate Christ from his church. Jesus said the church was so important that he died for it. Acts 20 and verse 28. He gave his blood to buy the church. Now, what does it sound like when somebody says, oh, you don't need the church? Does that mean that Jesus shed his precious blood to buy something we don't need? So I believe that we conclude that the church is important, and we do need the church. In fact, it is so needed that God was willing to give his only begotten Son to bring it into existence. It's just obvious that people have a mistaken idea in regard to the church. They would like to relegate the church to the background because they know there are certain requirements and restrictions that go along with church membership. A person can say, oh, I'm a Christian, and then he doesn't have to do anything at all. He doesn't have to worship. He doesn't have to give of his means. He doesn't have to do any teaching or make any effort to get others interested if he says, I'm just a servant of God and I'll just leave it there. But if he realizes being a servant of God means that I must do the will of God and I have to do all I can to try to help others to learn about God and his kingdom, then sometimes we have a different outlook. Is the church important? There isn't any question about it. The Lord would not have died for something which is unimportant. Is the church absolutely necessary to our salvation? Well, the Bible says in Ephesians 5, 22 through 25, that Christ is the Savior of the body. Now, if he saves the body and I'm not in the body, what about salvation? The body is the church. I'll read that to you from Ephesians 1, 22, 23. And gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. In our study tomorrow, we'd like to look at some other things that are mentioned in verse 12, which are a part of preaching Christ. I hope you'll be listening and compare what is said with the teaching of the Word of God. Don't take any man's word for it. Let God be true and every man a liar. Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. We remind you it was Jesus who said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We now return you to our announcer.